It's 10:30, and this is a special edition of Centennial College Radio News. I'm Matthew Aline with Monica Pat and Phoebe Ho. Coming up, commentary from Monica on more problems with the DDC than just the looming strike, and Phoebe weighs in on the provincial ban on pit bulls. In the weather, lots of sunshine today with a high of 25, and no sign of rain in the forecast until Sunday afternoon. Here's what's making news this hour. A minor earthquake was felt in southern Ontario this morning, approximately 5:30. The 5.4 quake was centered 10 kilometers from West Salem, Illinois, and was felt as far away as Chicago and Kitchener, Ontario. No damage has been reported. Commuters hold their breath as Sunday 4 p.m. deadline for the TTC strike draws closer. Mayor Miller and Chair Adam Giobroni are steadfast in not getting involved in the negotiations with the transit union. Queen's Park has not been forthcoming on whether or not back-to-work legislation will be tabled in the event of a strike. Between February 17th and the 23rd, the TTC dramatically increased services on the 47 bus and streetcar routes, but some critics believe that the move won't have the impact transit users are hoping for. Centennial College's Drew Berner reports.
TTC riders have been hearing the sounds of buses more often over the past few weeks. That's because between February 17th and 23rd, Toronto's public transit welcomed its biggest service increase in years. The TTC has put more buses on nearly 50 of its busiest routes. The move is meant to shorten wait times for buses and make riding the Rocket more comfortable. TTC Chair Adam Giambroni explained the increase.
The existing system was over capacity. We did not have the adequate resources to provide service where it was required. What the service associations do is they take packed bus routes and they provide adequate service.
Local transit critic Ed Drass is a columnist for Metroland News and a regular TTC customer. He thinks there are more important things the TTC should be looking at to improve service.
It doesn't even get into the issue of how regular the service is. You can have bad crowding on one bus, and then if there's two buses right behind it and they're half empty, I mean, it's a separate issue to get service running as well as possible, as regularly as possible. That's another effort going on now, mostly pushed by outside concern.
It may be too soon to judge how well the service increase is working, but at this point, the TTC is glad to be able to make the commute more manageable, even if some think it could be doing a better job. Drew Berner, Centennial College Radio News.
Transit riders are dreading the pending strike on Monday, but for cab drivers, it must feel like Christmas. But before you hail your next cab to get to work, you should know your rights. In a recent investigation by 52 Division, 21 cab drivers were charged with refusing a fare because the rider was not going far enough. Toronto Police Services was following up on a report from clubgoers in the entertainment district that cab drivers were refusing to take them home because they lived nearby downtown. Non-refusal of fares is a right every taxi driver must adhere to according to the Taxi Cab Passenger Bill of Rights posted in every cab. Rights also include a free ride if the meter is not in recording position, the cab is heated or air-conditioned on demand, a smoke-free environment for passengers, drivers must speak and understand English, and drivers must offer a silent ride if desired, which includes turning down the radio and not talking on their cell phone while driving. If you ever feel a cab driver is violating your rights, take down their name or the cab number and report it to the city's licensing committee. And now, here's Monica with her commentary.
Thanks, Matt. Now, this is something that's been on my mind for a while, and I think it's pretty topical considering all the hubbub with the coming TTC strike. Now, don't get me wrong, I love this city. I've been living here for 2.5 years, and it's been wonderful. You get all these amazing festivals every season, there's always things to see and do. But I will tell you something that my hometown of Montreal does better than my beloved Toronto, hands down. And Matt, you're from Montreal too, so I'm sure you'll empathize with me here. I ask the city, why doesn't anyone ever line up to get on a bus? It's simple, really. When there's more than one person waiting to board a bus, you form a line. Even if something resembling a line does form here, there's always some jerk who thinks he has the right to cut to the front. Say what you will about angry Quebec separatists or rude Montreal bus drivers. And yeah, maybe our subways never run on time. But when we get on a bus, we have a sense of order. So I'm asking anyone out there, please explain to me how the citizens of Canada's biggest city can resort to caveman-style chaos when it comes to getting on a bus. Toronto really doesn't need yet another reason to give it a bad rap. Now stay with us. After this short break, Phoebe will give her take on the pit bull ban in Ontario.
Every time my relatives visit, they eat me out of my house and home. There's my Uncle Louie. Whenever we have a cookout, he has 2 double cheeseburgers, 3 helpings of baked beans, 6 hot dogs, and a diet soda. It's ridiculous. Oh, and talk about like father like son. You should see Cousin Freddy. Every time I turn around, he has got his face in the fridge. This guy does not even snack between meals. He snacks between the salad and the entree. I'm sure glad I shop at Winn-Dixie though, because they have great low prices on everything in the store. Meat, produce, baked beans, everything. Okay, it's important for me to save money on groceries, especially when my Aunt Sophie's idea of light lunch is anything she can pick up with a fork. So from the bottom of my pocketbook, Winn-Dixie, I thank you.
Welcome back and hello everyone. The pit bull ban has been in effect for a while now, but no matter how much time passes, I'll never understand how or why this province would allow such a bylaw to exist. It just doesn't make any sense. We have a law that disallows animal cruelty, yet this pit bull ban completely contradicts it. I have 2 pit bulls of my own, and I have to say, they are not vicious animals. It's not fair to outlaw them because of fewer responsible owners. A Mississauga dog called Rambo has been locked up since he ran out of his owner's home a few months ago. They think he's a pit bull that was born after the ban was in effect. It's a huge sigh of relief for animal lovers to know that a change has finally been made to the pit bull ban, and Rambo will most likely survive this ordeal. But the fact that this perfectly healthy and friendly puppy was going to be put down because of its breed shows that something is definitely wrong with the system. What will they be banning next? And that's all for today. Now let's send back to Matt for the wrap-up.
Thanks, Phoebe. That's the news for now. You can hear more news coming up in about 15 minutes on the internet at ondemand.centennialcollege.ca. On behalf of all of us here at Centennial College Radios, we would like to wish all of our Jewish listeners happy Passover. Thanks for listening and have a great day.